Hey, all you MAGA extremists out there. It's me again. Alan Jacoby, the Great Divide Podcast. Hope you're all doing good and well. What is it? What are we in? Tuesday? It's Tuesday. We had Monday Madness last night. My guy, James Curry. We got a lot going on. Winter is coming. Energy costs are soaring. It's going to be expensive heating those homes this winter for Americans. We have, you know, Joe Biden, COVID is over, but the White House saying, it's not really over. And all kinds of other nonsense disagreements between Joe Biden and the White House. Hope you're all doing well. We're live on Facebook. We're live on Getter. We're live on Rumble. And we're live on the Patriot Podcast Network on Roku TV right now. The chats are open. See a few people in there, Missouri, other places. Rumble, it's the Great Divide Podcast with Alan Jacoby. You can look up. If you're on Rumble, just hit the subscribe button. It helps the algorithm there. And I don't know what's supposed to. I'm seeing something in the chat. Let's hear what's speculated as going to happen on or around September 24th. I don't know. Why don't you tell me in the chat? That's a good question. Maybe I have no idea what's supposed to happen around September 24th. Please let me know. I'd like to know. All right. Oh, Idaho. I'm thinking of Ohio. Angry Idahoan. I like the name. All right. First thing, it is dangerous. It is obvious. Now we know it is dangerous to be a what they call MAGA Republican or MAGA extremists, whatever they're calling us this week. I mean, I consider myself a conservative. I like Donald Trump. I don't worship the man. I'm not in his orange man cult that the left perceives everyone who loves America is in. But apparently it is dangerous to be a conservative or Republican labeled as a MAGA extremist. And this is what the left has wanted. The left now is inciting violence against MAGA extremists, emboldening people to assault people who lean right. It just happened in North Dakota on Sunday morning. This I spoke about briefly yesterday on Monday Madness with James, that because actually one of my loyal watchers and listeners, Diane, she had put the link in the chat yesterday, I think, like as it was breaking. Sorry. And this is something that's not being covered in mainstream media for a reason, because a man, 41-year-old guy, admitted to killing a teenager, 18 years old, claiming that this 18-year-old teenager was a Republican extremist. So there you have it. If you're labeled a Republican extremist and people know your political ideologies, well, you have a disagreement with somebody, there's a chance, I'm not saying in every situation, but there's a chance that you may be a victim of assault or worse. And this individual, 18 years old, who was supposedly labeled a Republican extremist, was run over by a dog by a 41-year-old man who got drunk beforehand and then admitted to doing it. So it was in North Dakota. And the Sunday morning, the man called 911 and he admitted to the hit and run of, again, an 18-year-old, and over a political argument with, yes, a Republican, or I guess what some people would label as a MAGA Republican, because there's that wedge that they're trying to drive into the party. And the guy was 41 years old, and he was afraid of this 18-year-old, and he was afraid that this 18-year-old was part of a Republican extremist group, and he was worried that they were coming to get him. So the guy's worried about an 18-year-old who just old enough to vote, who even knows if he had the opportunity to vote yet in an election at 18. And this 41-year-old moron, this piece of garbage, decides that 18-year-old is a part of a Republican extremist group. What is a Republican extremist group? What does that even mean? Is a Republican extremist group anyone who wears a red Make America Great Again hat? Because now you hear left-wing pundits and morons on mainstream media saying, Well, you know, all Republicans look alike. You know, because you might have an American flag t-shirt, or you might be wearing a Make America Great Again hat. Oh, which, by the way, a Democrat friend of mine proudly wears a Make America Great Again hat. But yeah, so now you have to worry about having that, what you would hope to be a civil discourse. Now, I don't know what the disagreement was, if there was an argument. But apparently this guy runs this 18-year-old over, leaves the scene, then comes back and calls 911. And then admits that he was drinking beforehand. And apparently this guy was chasing this 18-year-old. Yes, the extremist stuff is very extreme on the left's part. You know, they keep saying that if Donald Trump gets indicted, which I think he's going to over nonsense, or if he's prosecuted, that the left keeps pushing this narrative. And even some people on the right, like I've said it before, that moron Lindsey Graham, Lady G, that people on the right are going to become violent, riot in the streets. Yeah, that's not what we do. And it's very important that that is said over and over and over again. Because I've also said this, that we know that there are extremists on both sides. But I haven't seen anyone on the right inciting violence and assassination attempts or wishes on, say, Supreme Court justices and things like that. People with MAGA hats aren't burning down cities. January 6th. I'm sorry, but that's, you can't compare the two. January 6th, which they'll keep pushing that narrative, was the worst attack on America since 9/11, which disgusts me and should disgust anybody. But now this is what, and even young people, because there are young people out there of voting age. There are people out there of not voting age who are heavily involved in politics because they're seeing what's going on in their country. And I'm talking 15, 16, 17-year-old. I mean, you have 15 and 16-year-olds with conservative podcasts that are gaining a large audience. They can't even vote yet. And they're going to Trump rallies, they're going to Republican meetings, they're going to rallies and campaign events for other prominent conservatives or Republicans. They're not of voting age yet. And they're publicly speaking their mind about their political ideologies, which I think is wonderful. And everyone should be doing that. Even people on the left, that's fine. That's what this country is all about. But the whole inciting violence on your political opposition, it's disgusting. And I've seen people on the right do it and talk about it to people on the left. And I always say, well, what makes us different then? You can't do that. There's no place for violence or the threats of violence. There's always a place to defend yourself against those acts, of course. And sometimes defending yourself against those violent acts is with violence, unfortunately. I mean, it's common sense. But you have to now worry about if you want to have that civil discourse, which I always encourage people to have the conversation. We need to have these conversations as Americans. But when now you may be confronted with someone who has been brainwashed so much by that leftist propaganda machine known as the legacy media, mainstream media, and all of these other idiots on the left and whatever activist groups they happen to be, you know, seeing because of it all, that now they have this, they're spitting this venom against anybody who calls themselves a Republican and conservative. And then because they're so programmed to hate Donald Trump, and that's all they think about now. And you think Republican and conservative, it's Donald Trump, orange man, bad. This person's a MAGA extremist, MAGA Republican. They're going to overthrow the government. They're white supremacists. They're white nationalists. They're fascists. They want this one rule government in America led by the dictator Donald Trump. That's how the left wants the narrative. And none of us want that. We want free and fair elections. We want elections to be protected. Election integrity is paramount. But we're the bad guys because we love America. I can't, because we don't want the values of America to be trampled, and we don't want the rights that we're granted in the Constitution to be eroded away or taken from us. And because we support the Second Amendment makes us evil, violent people. Because maybe we go to a gun range or we buy a firearm, that we're promoting school shootings. Because all school shootings now are, you know, the fault of Republicans, because we want to protect the Second Amendment. I mean, this is, and it, you know, it's just going to get worse, especially, I mean, look how close we are to the midterms. They're right around the corner, right around the corner. And things will get worse. It'll be interesting to hear what happens in October, what goes on as far as the narrative, the nonsense. And now again, so my advice to everybody is, if you're going to have these conversations and you're public about your political ideologies, and there's a lot of people that aren't, and I don't blame anyone who keeps their politics to themselves. I don't. You don't have to go out and stand on a soapbox and say, you know, speak your mind. Me, I do it. A lot of people do it. I'm not worried about consequences. I'm full aware of what they could be, and I always prepare myself for that. But we need, as a people, to stand up for what our values are, because all of our values, rights, faith, everything, under attack. The schools are under attack. Religion is under attack. Every institution that you could think of is under attack and being infiltrated by these sickos that like to call themselves progressives. And it's just, it's wild. It really is wild. And then on top of that, we have to worry about real issues. Like, winter is coming. Winter is coming, people. And we are not an energy independent nation any longer. We are not. And my prediction, and a lot of other people, is after the midterms, the Biden administration will find a way. They probably already have it planned, that we're going to see energy costs like we've never seen before, maybe in some of us our lifetime. But there's, you know, reports out there that Americans are going to suffer greatly this winter because of the cost of heating their homes, heating prices, electric bills. And it's going to cause a lot of suffering. It's going to cause a lot of pain. People are going to struggle. And yeah, I agree. I think people are going to get hurt this winter. People are going to hurt regardless. And I think, you know, what they say, desperate people do desperate things. And I hope this isn't, I'm not trying to be, you know, like it's Apocalypse Now or anything like that. Nothing like that. I'm not saying that you're going to starve. I mean, there are countries in Europe, because of what's going on with the pipeline and Putin, that, you know, people may freeze to death. I'm not saying it's going to happen here in the United States. I'm saying you're going to have to work more to heat your homes, or you're going to have to sacrifice greatly to heat your homes, to be able, on top of that, the rising food costs. I went to go get creamer today, hazelnut creamer, right? And I was told by the clerk that We haven't had hazelnut creamer in 2 weeks. We can't get it. What do you mean you can't get it? 7-Eleven, the chain convenience store, for those who might not have them in your area, they had it. I got there last too, and they says, yeah, we're hoping to get the last delivery that came with dairy products. We didn't have hazelnut creamer, and there was a couple other things. Oh, and liverwurst, which I don't eat, but the woman decided to tell me, yeah, we can't get liverwurst either. Like, all right, well, I don't eat that. So, but it just goes to show that the shortages are there. The shortages are continuing. People are hurting. People are going to continue to hurt. Energy costs are going to rise. They're saying that the average household will pay about 17% more this winter to heat their properties. And that they're saying that's reaching a 10-year high of about $1,200 per home. That's not a lot of money to some people, but that is a hell of a lot of money to a lot of people, especially hardworking middle class who have $2,000 and $3,000 mortgages, their electric bills, their car payments, and everything else, the maybe few small luxuries that they try to enjoy, which they'll probably not be able to enjoy just to heat your home when your heating costs, whether it's electric or oil or gas, whatever it is, goes up 17%. Not saying your bill is going to go up 17%. Yes, the price of butter has gone up. Actually, I bought butter not too long ago and I noticed that. So I'm not a price checker. I just get what I need. That's it. And then I'm like, oh, wow. Well, that's a lot. I remember $150 got me a lot more than what's in my shopping cart now. But yeah, butter went up. There was something else I noticed too. That was milk, I believe, is still up there. I think even eggs have a hefty price tag now. Yeah, $6 a gallon for a gallon of milk. I think near me, last I checked, it was five and change. It could be $6. But this nonprofit, this National Energy Assistance Directors Association, they're saying that electricity bills would go up with the prices expected to rise 7.5% from last year. This guy, Mark Wolf, is the executive director of the National Energy Assistance Directors Association. A lot of S's there. There's a lot of pain. This is the second year of high home heating prices across the board. Low and middle income families are suffering and will continue to suffer. You know, I'm not trying to put the dark fright into everybody. This is just reality. And, you know, elections have consequences. And it goes back to this argument of before Joe Biden was wheeled into the Oval Office like the zombie he is, our gas was affordable. In some places, it was around $2 a gallon. I think in some places of the country, it was a little less and a little more. And then they said, well, when gas prices immediately started to rise, it was, oh, well, the president doesn't have anything to do with the gas prices. That's always the Democrats' go-to. Happened with Obama, too. Well, the president has nothing to do with gas prices. But then when they jack up the prices, because, again, they think we're all stupid and they hate us and they're just going to drain us. They jack up the price. Now we're at $5 a gallon, and then all of a sudden we see a 10-cent drop, a 30-cent drop. And then all of a sudden they start putting these charts and graphs out saying, hey, look, the senile old man in the Oval Office is making gas prices drop unbelievably. They're plummeting. The gas prices are plummeting. But I thought you just said that the president of the United States has no control of what the price of gas in this country is. It is all bullshit, smoke, and mirrors. And for those people out there, like, yes, you know, you can heat with coal and wood. Like, coal went up, but yes, it's not as expensive as heating oil. And people rely on, you know, they get their cords of wood, wood-burning stove. It's... So where would you have thought that you, to save electricity, you would unplug your dryer and your microwave? Would you have thought that you would have to unplug your dryer and your microwave and hang clothes on a drying line 3.5 years ago? And yes, of course, Diane, again, their ultimate goal, one, their ultimate goal is always control. And it's for us to be more reliant on the government. 100%. That's what they want. They want to wipe out the middle class. They want the extremely poor and the extremely rich. And then they want the rich elites to control and the extremely poor to follow suit and fall in line and be controlled by the government. Yeah, maybe the great of their great reset. Well, I'm not having it. It's wild. And then, of course, you have what's happening with the southern border. I feel like we talk about what's going on the southern border like we're just full of hot air to hear ourselves talk. But it's just unbelievable on how it's exploded. And now even, you know, there are Democrats that are questioning, well, what's going on with the border? Not enough of them, of course. Of course, not enough of them. But, you know, the utility pricing is going to be interesting this winter, and it's going to be interesting to see. So where I live on Long Island, we have a lot of homes. We have both natural gas and home heating oil. And last winter, I can't tell you how many people, they would have, some would do cash on delivery oil, and then some would be in a contract and they'd shop around and try to lock into the right price, lock into a contract. You know, $4 a gallon and more last year. I think, I don't have oil, I have gas in my home. Maybe over $5 a gallon, I heard some in some places around me. And these people were trying to stretch out as much as they can, and they were running out of oil, or they weren't using enough heat. And then their domestic water lines in their homes were freezing because they're not insulated well. Some of the homes built in the 40s and 50s and have never had a renovation. And then they're getting, their pipes are breaking, and now their homes are being destroyed. And now they're making insurance claims, and now their insurance premiums are going up. It's like this vicious cycle. It's just this vicious cycle. And I see that a lot. And we're going to see it more, I think, this winter. I think people are going to struggle more paying to heat their homes this winter than they were last winter with the price of everything. And it's concerning. It's very concerning. But, you know, you're going to have to pay more to heat your home and then have to worry about who you're having a conversation with so they don't run you over with their car thinking you're a right-wing extremist. So it's interesting. 2,000 square foot home will cost between $300 and $600 on natural gas. Electric will be $400 and $700 a month. Maybe in some places. Mine, where I am in New York, my electric bill fluctuates, obviously, depending on the time of the year. In the summer, it's been under $200 a month. My natural gas bill is not that expensive at all. I'm cooking heat with gas, but obviously in the winter, it is slightly more. But I'm nowhere near 300, and my home is a little over 2,000 square feet, and I don't think I pay more than $150 a month, actually. But I don't even look at the bill. But I'm pretty sure I don't pay over $150 a month. It's just automatically paid. But yeah, okay, Chicagoland area. It's, and then of course they want to try to play the game with, well, we're going to lower gas prices by, yes, draining the strategic gas reserves. That's the old go-to. Let's put the Band-Aid on the wounds. Let's not remedy the situation. And this is why, again, people, the broken record's going to come out. Well, elections have consequences, and why we have to get involved and start changing the players in the game that are going to play the game for the people and not for their pockets and not for their special interest groups. You know, unfortunately, now we have rhinos out there that are looking to willfully sabotage the midterms because they don't want to lose their power and their majority within the party. They don't want America First candidates. Most rhinos don't. So you got to get involved. Right now, all they want to do is spin the narrative, push the narrative, like this Martha's Vineyard thing now, which, you know, we all got a great laugh at. The rumors are, oh, maybe he's going to send more. I mentioned it yesterday. I brought it up on the show that some Democrat sheriff out of Texas was doing launching a criminal investigation into Ron DeSantis and what he did, but now can't find any laws that he broke. But yeah, Texas Democrat is investigating Ron DeSantis, Texas Democrat sheriff investigating Ron DeSantis, his migrant flight, and he's not able to find any laws that he broke. And they were actually on the Young Turks page, the Young Turds page. There were Democrats in Florida saying, I'm in Florida and I can't believe that our governor spent this money on doing this. And well, obviously they're not following their own state because their state legislature passed a budget. And in the budget was like $12 million just for this, for I think migrant relocation or something like that. I think it's funny how they're so desperate. You could smell the desperation in the air. Like Democrats everywhere. Where now you had this sheriff just looking for his 15 minutes of fame saying, I'm going to investigate Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida. Shut up and sit down and worry. I'm imagining if we go through the crime stats of this Democrat sheriff's state, county, that I bet you he's really easy on crime, being that he's a Democrat sheriff, and you know how they love their criminals. I have to look more into that. And now, back to this Martha's Vineyard deal. Now you have the left-wing lawyers coming out of the woodwork. This is great, too. This is going to be the next part of the narrative. Left-wing lawyers are now saying, illegal aliens are very traumatized by the Martha's Vineyard move, the Martha's Vineyard relocation. They say that, and these are left-wing lawyers, they're saying that the 50 illegal aliens who were flown to Martha's Vineyard have been left very traumatized after they arrived on this beautiful, beautiful elite island place, home to the nation's some of the wealthiest elite, like Barry and Mike Obama, that they're traumatized. They're traumatized. Martha's Vineyard, they had a humanitarian crisis for 50 people, literally. They're saying that they're traumatized because they were moved from, I think it was Texas they came from. The Florida governor moved them. Ron DeSantis moved them. And went from Texas to Martha's Vineyard. And then they took them from Martha's Vineyard in like less than 48 hours, threw them on buses and brought them to a military base on mainland Massachusetts. And now you have Democrats now calling for the DOJ, Merrick Garland and friends, to open a kidnapping and human trafficking investigation into Governor DeSantis. Meanwhile, all this while the Biden regime openly transports thousands of illegal aliens to American communities every day, or I should say night, in the cover of night, by plane, by bus. Hillary Clinton, this is human trafficking. First of all, Hillary Clinton shouldn't open her mouth about human trafficking, all right? Bill Clinton, Jeffrey Epstein. You know, I can't be mad at any of these illegal aliens because our government, current regime, invited them. Come on in. The border is open. The border is secure. The border is open. The border is secure. It's wide open. And I have, you know, there are people out there on social media who are Democrats who say, no, the border is secure. And I go, you're not understanding. You're watching the news. I literally talk to Border Patrol agents multiple times a week who are very good friends of mine, and they tell me the horrors of what's going on. They're not in law enforcement officers anymore. Well, you know, some of them are like, we don't even know why we have guns. All we do is process people. Yeah, come on in. Okay. Come on in. There's no enforcement. Unless there's a crime committed in front of them, there's no enforcement. But you can't blame them for coming here when they're invited. And then you have places like Venezuela that hates us. Hates us. They're literally emptying prisons and sending them to our border. It's perfect. Why wouldn't they? Their prisons are overrun with murderers, rapists, you know, armed robbers, whatever it is, child molesters. And they're like, hey, screw it. America will take anybody at this point. Let's get them out of our prisons and send them on their way. You're out. Go to America. Have fun. Someone will hire you. And if not, you could just commit crimes in blue cities and not have to worry about going to jail. So Venezuela is doing that. And what are we going to do to stop it? Nothing. Not unless there's some sort of change. Nothing is going to be done. The more of these left-wing attorneys, and then most of them are for civil rights groups, they want to see a criminal investigation opened into DeSantis. Because the illegal aliens flown to Martha's Vineyard have been left very traumatized. And apparently, the other rumor that's happening is these left-wing attorneys are now having illegal aliens, and I'm not an attorney, that they're having them file a lawsuit against Ron DeSantis for this whole thing because they're very traumatized. The trauma, the mental trauma that these illegal aliens suffered because they broke the law coming into our country, and then they were put on charter flights to a beautiful island only to be put on more buses to be brought to a military base. And they're so traumatized, even though they've never been assaulted here. They're not being tortured. They're not being put in jail cells. They're being given clothes. They're being given food, free flights, travel, most likely phones, and everything else they possibly could be given by our government. But they're traumatized. I'd imagine if you speak to any of them who haven't been coached, one, they don't know what the word traumatized means, and two, they're just happy to be here and will be moved 100 times as long as it's within the borders of the United States of America. I'd imagine that they don't care. They're not traumatized at all. And the left is so twisted about these 50 migrants dumped on Martha's Vineyard by a governor in Florida with big balls, but they don't care about 50 migrants that died in the heat of a tractor trailer left there. They don't talk about that. They don't talk about that. When is any of these morons on MSNBC or Randy Maddow or Don Lemon? Oh, he's on the morning show now. Or any of these idiots talking about the migrants left behind to die in the back of box trucks or the bodies floating in the Rio Grande of women and children dead for trying to make the trip. Why aren't they talking about that and who's responsible? Instead, they're talking about a governor in Florida who transported 50 illegals to Martha's Vineyard to prove a point, which was proved very well. And they're going to say, well, he's racist for doing that, and anyone who supports it is racist because they wouldn't do that to white people. What does that even mean? They're more worried about weakening our military and telling people who wouldn't get the jab that they can't serve their country no longer, which, by the way, Ron DeSantis is now publicly demanding Joe Biden allow unvaccinated military to return to service, because Joe Biden literally said that COVID is over. He said it at the Detroit Car Show in an interview, but he said a lot of things. He said COVID is over. And the White House is not really going with that. Like, oh, because, and the Surgeon General says we have to keep funding COVID. We have to keep making sure we have that money flow so that we can prevent COVID. It's all a money game. It's all a money game. It's a money grab. It's a power grab. So if COVID is over, you don't need your emergency powers anymore. If COVID is over, you should be reinstating every single military member who you told couldn't serve because they didn't take the jab. But literally, Ron DeSantis came out on Monday, and he asked a question. After Joe Biden admitted that COVID was over, this is, when will the president allow those who were forced to leave the military due to the vaccine mandate to return? And it's a valid question. And this is, again, is why you need to get involved. I mean, right now they're talking about Gavin Newsom. They're saying, sources within his camp, that he's undeniably and he's unequivocally running for president if Biden does not run. That's what, the rap is, but it was a report from them. It cites two sources with knowledge of the governor's plans. One top California fundraiser told the outlet, The Wrap, that Newsom will absolutely announce his intention to run after the midterm election if Biden states that he is not seeking re-election. Now, Joe Biden did say he is running for re-election, but he says a lot of things that doesn't happen, or he lies about, or he just doesn't remember saying. But, Biden's political future, it's kind of, reports on that are contradictory, because in April, they had said that Biden was going to run for re-election. Joe Biden identified himself as the only individual who can defeat former President Donald J. Trump. And that, yeah, of course, yeah. 81 million votes. But Gavin Newsom was one of my predictions. He's going to run. I even think he'll... Even if Joe Biden decides he's going to run, why not? Gavin Newsom, I would imagine, would run anyway. I mean, why not? It's going to be interesting to see. But before that, we have to worry about 2022. We have governor elections. We have congressional elections. We have Senate elections. And we have to worry about, after that, who will be the next president of the United States. It can't be Joe Biden. It can't. Obviously, I think most of us want Donald Trump to run for president. If he does run, I believe he will get the Republican nomination. And I think at this point, you know, I would hope that we'd see one of those landslides, because people would open their eyes and realize what has been going on. And I hope, you know what? I hope you're right in the chat that no one is going to beat Trump in 2024. I hope you're right. Especially this guy. I got to play this video of Joe Biden. Just the montage to remind people of how inept. And then as you're watching this, I want you to keep saying to yourself in your head, 81 million votes? How can anyone listen to this man talk and actually believe that? The sad thing is that there are people that believe that. The sad thing is that there are people that don't believe it, but publicly say it. It's crazy. Listen to this.
Watch me. If you think I don't have the energy level or the mental acuity.
The best way to get something done, if it holds near and dear to you that you like to be able to. Anyway.
From Charlotte, another line going from in Florida down to Tampa.
Of Putin's kleptocracy. Yeah.
Wow.
America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was going to put him. The idea that
Los Angeles and what am I doing here?
For two reasons. One, to
blank.
We haven't been able to communicate it in a way that is, let me say another way.
But the nature, not
a blind look.
A solid meeting with they make a very good point. Here's the deal. Here's what drives the driver in the states that are affected. Here's what you can do, the drivers.
It's
unbelievable.
Wow.
Wow. Wow. And those aren't new clips. You know, we've seen them. But it's crazy. It's funny someone says that. Biden is going to start World War III. So another thing he had said, which he was asked about, and he was asked a couple different ways. I should have gotten that clip. My apologies. But he was asked, if China invades the island of Taiwan, will the United States government defend Taiwan against the Chinese? And Joe Biden said, yes. And he asked again, does that mean sending servicemen, servicewomen to defend Taiwan against China? And Biden said, yes. And the White House, a White House official, unidentified, who I believe is General Milley, upper echelons of the military, because Biden is not in charge. White House official says, well, that is not the policy. Our policy has not changed. You have the White House contradicting the commander in chief. Who is this White House official that thinks they're in charge? The commander in chief stated that the American military will defend Taiwan against a Chinese invasion, which, by the way, for the record, I do not support. I do not support our men and women, our sons and daughters, to go and spill their own blood for warmongers. I'm sorry, I'm not in favor of it. Because once that happens, Taiwan and China, and we send military engaging with China, yeah, you can bet your ass World War III is going to start. I mean, World War III is bound to happen sometime or another. Is it going to be in the next 2 years? Is it going to be in the next 6 months? Is it going to be in the next 10 years? Obviously, it's a rhetorical question because we just don't know. But when we have a, air quotes, president on national television saying that we will send our military to defend the island of Taiwan, and I haven't looked, I've just been very busy, I have not looked to see what China's reaction of those words are. You know, very interesting times, people. Very interesting times. And again, this is why it's important to wake up and get ready. Prepare yourselves for getting involved and doing something. We have to do something, and we have to overwhelm the system on election day. We have to start sending messages. It's really the only way we're going to be able to save our country. You know, Democrat, like, I'm in New York, and we have Governor Hochul, who's a vile, vile woman. She wasn't even supposed to be running for election. She was a lieutenant governor. Cuomo resigned. She took the helm. Letitia James, the attorney general, was supposed to run. And the party saw how good Hochul was polling during the pandemic because New Yorkers are sick in their heads with liking her policies. They saw her polling really well, and they told Letitia James, listen, you're not running for governor. Kathy Hochul is. Lee Zeldin, the Republican who won, he's a congressman. He's not too far behind in the polling, now has a number of Democrats and some prominent Democrats who are lawmakers and activists. They made a commercial, which I'm going to play this video, coming out and endorsing Lee Zeldin. Democrats for Lee Zeldin, because Democrats in New York, smart, rational thinking Democrats who actually love America, who've never voted Republican in their lives, are now coming out endorsing Lee Zeldin and saying this is the first time that they're going to vote Republican, and they're doing it for Lee Zeldin because they know how screwed up New York is with Kathy Hochul at the helm. New York is in trouble. It's been in trouble, and it's getting worse, and I think people in New York are waking up. I hope, hopefully enough of them. Unfortunately, we have New York City that is so densely populated with disgusting liberals, it's not even funny. I didn't see that. Two, apparently, and I have to look into that, Jim. Two aircraft carriers on their way to Taiwan as we speak. And I know we always have ships in that general vicinity. I don't know if this is something new, a new deployment, but I'm going to look into that too. You know, all it takes, you have all of these, the Chinese flying their warplanes into Taiwan, and Taiwan scrambling to intercept them to say, hey, get out of here. And they're these intimidation games, it takes one mistake of one pilot, one mistake of one member of either military, where there's an accident. Maybe it wasn't intentional. Something happens, or something was intentional, to spark a reaction. And then again, boom, China is invading. Taiwan is fighting. And now everyone's looking to America. Yeah, our military is more worried about pronouns. Oh, that reminds me. I got to bring something up after this. I want to play this video. This this Lee Zeldin commercial, his campaign commercial with the Democrats for. I just listen to these people. And, you know, I know people in the Zeldin camp and other people like these are real. And a lot of them are, I'm telling you, they're prominent Democrats, have never voted Republican, and they're just so tired of it that you have Democrats rallying basically anyone but Hochul between the, I mean, you have Democrats that are living in crime ridden neighborhoods that are tired of hearing defund the police, that are tired of hearing that this individual was arrested 14 times and home in time for dinner for each one because they were cashless bail and they all have large criminal records, and that they're emboldened now to just keep committing crimes because they know they're not going to see a jail cell for an extended period of time until maybe a trial and conviction, that they're just going to be let out of jail. And while the wheels of justice turn slowly, they could still go out and cause mayhem and do what they have to do. And Democrats, as well as Republicans, are tired of that, especially in New York. So, you know, it's, yeah, check this out.
Hispanic, I'm black, I'm a Democrat. I have been a Democrat all my life.
I also stand here as a 40-year Democrat. I've never voted for anyone else except for a Democrat for 40 years.
I was a special education teacher in New York City for over 14 years, and I have not once ever in my life voted for a Republican, and that changes in 2022 with Lee Zeldin.
I remember the days of 1993 when I was the only Democrat in the beginning to endorse a guy by the name of George Pataki.
I come from the Bronx. The Bronx people are crying out for protection.
Today, there is urgency in electing a leader that will take our priorities seriously. Public safety, affordability, and educating our kids well for their future, our future.
We are suffering. We're sick and tired of being sick and tired of every day. We turn around. There's a mother identifying her child's body at the morgue. We're tired of it. There's a mother and a family at a child's bedside, praying and hoping that they pull through the night.
Lawlessness that we see, there's only one person that we feel that can stop this, and that's Lee Zeldin.
Remember, they said it couldn't be done. I mean, Governor Cuomo, I mean, how can you beat an institution? And you all know what happened, and there was a great victory in 1993.
So I call my fellow Chinese American New Yorkers, this is the opportunity that we will have a governor who will help our children, who will secure our children's American dream.
This is why I support Lee Zeldin as our next governor of New York. Thank you.
And we believe and we trust that Lee Zeldin is the man who's going to pay attention, he's going to listen to our concerns, and he's going to go in there and he's going to do his best to turn things around.
So, they have it. You have Democrats coming out for Republicans. And yeah, I just saw in the chat, Jim, yep, Safety Act in Illinois, which sounds worse than New York's cashless bail system. I mean, in Illinois, you can commit drug-fueled homicides and not be held. With bail, you could be released. You commit arson. I mean, second-degree murder, I believe, now in Illinois. That's supposed to happen in 2023, and people are calling it the purge, the Illinois purge in 2023. I mean, it's wild. It's wild how these Democrats are just in love with criminals, but they're also, I shouldn't say they're in love with criminals. They don't give a shit about their base. And even you could say that about some Republicans too. A lot of Republicans. They don't care. They see people when they get into a position and they're there for a certain amount of time, they have this attitude as they see us. Yes, the Purge Act. They see us as useful idiots. That's all we are. to most elected government officials in Congress, the Senate, even local politicians. I mean, the school board. School boards are so brazen that they look at their constituency as useful idiots, that they don't care about us. But God forbid you raise your voice at a school board meeting, you're going to be considered a domestic terrorist. You have senators. I played that video, I think, last week. You have senators speaking at congressional hearings saying that parents who speak out and raise their voice in concern of their children's education in schools are equated to MAGA extremists that stormed the Capitol on January 6th. That's what they're saying now about parents who care about their kids' education. It's unbelievable what they're doing. But then you have, so this is something that in Ontario, Canada, there was a teacher, a shop teacher, that is a man. And he was wearing to school a blonde wig, lipstick, yoga pants, and this giant breast prosthetic. I mean, made drag queens look, it was wild. Like, I have, let me bring up the Breitbart article. But there, hard nipples on the prosthetic breasts. I posted this on my Instagram to other places. And now this Ontario school is defending this male teacher wearing the gigantic prosthetic breasts to class. Literally showing you to using a table saw, teaching kids, coming into school like it's a circus, like it's a clown show. And they're okay with this. They are okay with this. What's next? If this teacher walked in with a giant glittery strap on, wearing it in class, would this school have a problem with it? A male teacher. Yeah. An Ontario, Canada high school is defending one of its male shop teachers' decision to teach young students while wearing a gigantic prosthetic bust. The male teacher, who recently began identifying as a female and calling himself Kayla Lemieux, okay, drag queen name, decided to wear the unnaturally large bust with prominently protruding nipples to class in an apparent attempt to exercise his female identity. Okay. Lemieux, a manufacturing technology teacher at Oakville Trafalgar High School, also wears a long blonde wig and skin-tight short shorts. Skin-tight short shorts. Oh, there it is. Here's the Twitter. There you go. There's no sound, but you could see the giant boobs operating the sawzall, the table saw. First of all, is that even safe? Look at that. Look at the skin tight shorts and the blonde wig. And look at the high school students. Like, again, this is in Canada, but it's not a far stretch of what's going on in our schools with the gender identity and everything else. And so, the public school system is just as corrupt as can be. Again, that's why it's important to protect your kids and know what they're doing in school. And of course, if we speak out, especially depending on where you speak out, you're canceled, you're deplatformed, you're censored, taken off social media. Why it's important to support decentralized media. As a matter of fact, like, if you're on Facebook right now, share the video, hit the share button. Do not watch this without hitting the share button. comment, hit like, just hit share. Maybe you're in some groups, you share it to there. It helps the message. It helps the analytics. It helps the algorithm to get the message out there because they don't want people like us speaking the truth. If you're on Rumble, hit the subscribe button. If you're on Getter, repost it. Follow. And just we're in this together, people. Like, if you're watching or listening, then you care. You care about our country. You care about your children's future, your grandchildren's future. I've had so many accounts nuked but they're not going to silence me. They're not going to keep silencing me. That's why I started the Patriot Podcast Network on Roku TV. You're not deplatforming anybody there. If you have a Roku TV, you have a Roku TV or a Roku device, go to it, type in Patriot Podcast Network. It'll come right up. My show's on there. We're live on there right now. There's about 25 other podcasts on there. We're going to be adding more. You have Getter. All of my shows live stream on Getter. We're on Truth Social. Facebook, as much as I despise it, it's a useful tool for me because I can reach a lot of people on Facebook, and I do reach a lot of people on Facebook. I reach thousands of people on Facebook with my show, with my posts. I have you guys engage on my page like crazy all hours of the day and night. And that's important to me because all of us get that we have to save our country. And one man, and I say this all the time, one man is not going to save our country. One man is not our savior. And that includes Donald Trump. We the people can save this country on our own. Most new TVs have Roku. You can Roku streaming. And you just have to search Patriot Podcast Network, and then it comes up, and then you can add it into the Roku app. It's free. It downloads easy, and then it's always there. And when you click on it, you get all kinds of shows on it. Like I said, I'm on there. There's a lot of shows, a lot of good shows. There's something there for everybody. Conspiracy theories, political commentary, truthers, everything. You know, we talk about all kinds of stuff. And if you haven't, I got to give the plug because I'm so proud of it. My cigar people out there, mypatriotcigars.com. Go there. Release 4 unbelievable cigars. They're great. The reviews I've been getting on them are unbelievable. Again, I'm a big cigar guy. And you go over to mypatriotcigars.com. You can use promo code CIGAR15. You could save 15% off. Shipping is free over orders of $100. And if you buy a box of cigars, it's shipping is free. And you also get an additional $10 e-gift card, which is mailed to you that you can use on a future purchase. Follow me on Truth Social, The Great Divide Podcast. Follow me on Instagram, The Great Divide Podcast. You're on Facebook. You're obviously following. Invite people to follow on Facebook. We just hit 31,000 followers, and we're already on our way to 32,000. Gained a lot of followers this past weekend. Rumble channel. Rumble's a lot more difficult than YouTube. YouTube, I'm not even really allowed on anymore. So go over to the Rumble channel, The Great Divide Podcast with Alan Jacoby. Hit the subscribe button. We're live there. Obviously, Getter. On Getter, I'm Alan Jacoby 1776. A-L-A-N is how you spell my name. Jacoby, J-A-C-O-B-Y, 1776 on Getter. I'm a verified account on Getter. I'm a verified account on Truth Social. Instagram won't verify me because, you know, they hate me. At least the conservatives like me on their platforms. They give me the verification. And Getter is great because they don't allow everyone to live stream, and they allow me to. So those Getter users, you can watch over there on Getter. So with that, I think we all know what we need to do. That broken record is we need to get involved. We need to sign up and work the polls for election day, become precinct captains. I put a post out today on my Facebook about it. Call your local board of elections, get involved, get behind candidates running for Congress, local office, especially America First candidates, do not give your money to the Republican Party. Give your money to individual candidates so you know where the money's going and being used, and you know that Kevin McCarthy isn't taking the PAC money and giving it to Rhino incumbents, or Rhino candidates to fund their campaigns. You know, you may live in an area where you're not fond of the Republican running, but the primaries are over. The Republican nominees are the Republican nominees, and they're all running against evil Democrats. And I know it's hard to say, hard to swallow. You have to get out and vote for the Democrat in your, you have to get out and vote against the Democrat. You have to vote for the Republican in that race, in your local race, because you have to think of the country. Just don't think about your area either. It's important that we get the majority in the House. It'd be great to get the majority in the Senate. I'm not confident of that. I think we can get it in the House, and we can avoid, they could start doing the work that needs to be done and avoid more crap policies becoming law. I'd imagine that if we do gain the House and the Senate, that we would see a lot more of executive order attempts by the Biden regime, without a doubt. And we're going to keep getting stepped on by mainstream media. We're going to keep getting stepped on by left wingers. We're going to be getting stepped on by the Democrat politicians, like people like Eric Swalwell, the Democrat out of California, where he actually has said that Republicans all condone Donald Trump's threat of violence, when Donald Trump hasn't threatened violence at all. And they're spinning this narrative too, because he did an interview saying that people won't stand for if he does, whether he gets indicted that there'll be big problems. People won't stand for it. And that's not threatening violence. Okay. And of course, it doesn't help when people like Lindsey Graham say, well, if Donald Trump gets indicted, there'll be riots in the street. Republicans won't be rioting in the street, at least rational ones. And that this Eric Swalwell, he also says that Republicans who are silent of Donald Trump's threats of violence, which again, he's not threatening any violence, but this is the narrative, people. This is the narrative. Donald Trump says there will be big problems. That apparently is a threat to violence among Democrats. He's saying that Republicans who aren't speaking out about it, against it, are condoning this with their silence. And this is just the narrative, spin the narrative, smear and destroy, because Democrats can't run on their policies because their policies suck. That they can only run smear campaigns and destroy the will of, or attempt to destroy the will of the people by calling them domestic terrorists, by basically equating, if you wear a MAGA hat, if you say you're a Trump supporter and they label you as a MAGA Republican, they are saying that you are on the same level as the terrorists that attacked our country on September 11th. They're saying that you're the same terrorists that suicide bomb American military overseas. They're saying that you hate America. They're saying that you hate the Constitution. They're using these blatant lies against us to embolden their base, to use their useful idiots that will listen to anything they say. And I hope and I pray that those useful idiots that they call them, that those numbers are dwindling and people are actually thinking rationally and waking up and realizing the bullshit that they're peddling. And that's why it's always important to question everything. Ask the questions. Believe nothing of what you hear, half of what you see. Do your own research. Come up with your own opinions. Always question everything. If your government is pressuring something on the people so hard, you have to ask yourself why, what's the motive, and really look into it. Because the people now that are consistently still just getting in line like sheep, they're a lost cause. The ones that are starting to say, well, you know, I can see this, but I don't really agree with that. Those are the people that need a little more eye-opening. Or dare I say red-pilled. So, yeah. And also, people, please don't forget Mikey Lindell over at MyPillow.com. You know, the FBI loves Mike Lindell. I think the FBI loves Hardee's, too, because that's where they took his cell phone. I'm wondering if the FBI that took Mike Lindell's cell phone actually got takeout from Hardee's also. Maybe they were hungry of that big cell phone seizure with the Pillow King, Mike Lindell. MyPillow.com, promo code GREAT1776. There's one of my favorite memes. Look at them all with their MyPillows. Even the FBI likes MyPillow. And the FBI loves coffee, so don't forget the My Coffee. Go over to mystore.com and use promo code GREAT1776 to get some great coffee, which the FBI needs their coffee and their pillows. And, you know, I'm surprised I haven't seen a campaign where people are buying pillows and sending them to their local FBI office. That would be great. Go to mypillow.com. You buy one pillow. Everyone buy one pillow for like $20. I think the cheapest one with the promo code is like $20. And then you have it sent to your local FBI office. That would be great. So mypillow.com, grade 1776. Go over there and support Mike Lindell. Become a member of the Pillow Gang at mypillow.com. And just I mentioned it before, but I want to bring it up. And of course, again, I tell you, technology is bad, okay? MyPatriotCigars.com, there it is. There's the promo code. 15% off with promo code CIGAR15. Go to MyPatriotCigars.com. If you watch the Friday show, I'm always smoking a cigar because the three-hour show, because I can't get James Curry from We the People Radio to shut up. He loves to talk. I love James. Oh, speaking of, there's going to be no Freedom Friday this week. Sorry to disappoint. James is traveling, and I'm taking the night off. I will be back tomorrow for my War Room Wednesday. We'll be doing another hour or so. But Friday, we're going to be off. I am actually going to be... I guess I could tease it now a little bit because we're working on the particulars. I'm going to be doing a Saturday morning show collaboration with another show, Steak for Breakfast podcast with my boys, Ronan Noah, which is a very big, it's an audio only podcast. If you haven't heard of them, they're great. They have a really big, unbelievable black book of guests on their show all the time. Like Cash Patel's on their show a lot. You have Pete Navarro, Liz Harrington, Christina Bob, a lot of others from Trump world. So I'm going to be doing a collaboration show with them. It's going to be called, so my show is The Great Divide and their Steak for Breakfast. And we're coming together and we're starting The Great Steak Breakfast, which is going to be a live show Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern. So we're going to have the chat open. We're going to be talking to you guys. It'll be an hour show. We'll be on the Patriot Podcast Network, and we'll be on a bunch of other platforms like Getter and Rumble and CloudHub and all that. So it looks like it's going to start this Saturday. Hopefully we get all the technical stuff done, which we'll be working on this week feverishly, but I will put out posts. But no, I am not going to be here for Friday. You can't just watch me instead on Friday. James is, like I said, he's traveling. and I'm taking the night off. I'm going to spend some time with the wife and kid. You have to do that once in a while, you know. And but I'm going to be back tomorrow, and then I'm probably going to see me Saturday morning on the it'll be on Facebook. It'll be right here also. I'll be streaming same place. You'll be able to see it. And then next week, I'm easing into probably at least four, if not all five nights a week and Saturday mornings. You'll be seeing more of me. I'll be back tomorrow. I'm sure there'll be more stuff that pops up on my radar to talk about. That's another thing too, people, because you guys are so heavily engaged in the chats. My email, which is everywhere too, it's on my Facebook page, but my email is thegreatdivide1776@gmail.com. You can also send me a DM on Facebook. You can send me a DM on Instagram. But if you email me and you see something out there that's worth looking into for me to talk about, I'm always looking for stuff. And, you know, I'm glued to the news pretty much 24/7. And I like to talk about things that we're not seeing in mainstream media. And, of course, just like to give my opinion on it, on what I'm seeing out there. Of course, I like to remind everybody that I am not a news anchor. I am not a news actor. I am Joe Blow American. I am Alan Jacoby. I happen to have a platform. I started this platform. I like to talk. I like that you like to listen to me. I like that you like to engage with me. The best thing you can do always is to share the video. You guys are sharing the posts and memes on my page like crazy. They're spreading like wildfire. I look and they're saying, you know, this post is shared 800 times. This post is shared 200 times. This one's shared 30 times. You guys are great. The support I get, the messages I get, and I even love the trolls. I've been getting attacked recently by some people. Actually, this weekend, guys were basically telling me that I should die, sending me pictures of horse genitalia in my DMs. I think I posted a couple the other day of two people that were like, you straight up, you know, telling me, hey, you're a piece of shit to me and things like that, which I don't care. This stuff doesn't bother me. If things bothered me, if I was sensitive, if I was offended, I wouldn't be doing a show like this. I would not be doing this. Like I you know, and I look at comments and stuff and I see some of the comments. What I don't tolerate on the page, the only way I'll block people is if they're getting like violent with people that follow the page, with the name calling and the things like that. And I'm surprised I'm not restricted either. I've been restricted before, but I'm wide open on Facebook, which is wild. Facebook has not removed one of my shows. Not one. Knock on wood. Now they're going to nuke my page tomorrow morning. Nope. I'm still here. I have not had live streams taken down on Facebook. But again, you know, I live stream on Facebook, Getter, Rumble, Cloud Hub, actually, also, which I don't have a big following on, but I get a lot of views on there. And I don't know how Cloud Hub really works, but whatever, I stream on it, I hit the button and it streams. And of course, the Patriot Podcast Network on Roku TV. The only problem with that is you can't engage on Roku, but you could sit in your living room and watch on your television if you download the channel. So, you know, a lot of people are either watching on their phones or they're watching on a device. So you're on your Facebook app because you're typing to me. And I love that. I love hearing from you guys because I see as I'm looking at you and I look down, I have the chat right in front of me. Yes. I do sometimes say, Brandy, that I'm shocked that I'm not restricted with the content, but I know things that are important to me that I talk about, you know, they're not messing with me right now. Knock on wood again. So anyway, people, with that, I'm going to leave it there. I will see you tomorrow, what I call my War Room Wednesday show, which will just be an hour of me ranting about the left and gangbanging on the government and other things that we need to talk about and hopes to spread the messaging to save America. So I'll see you all tomorrow. Follow me, Truth Social, Instagram, The Great Divide Podcast. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the share button. Do it. Stop. Just don't do anything else. Hit the share button. And I appreciate it. I'll see you tomorrow. Take it easy.